one of books to, in terms of the church. See Carol Steed from Thailand, and good to see her. And it's good to see Amanda Masterson over here, give a wave. And Amanda's been running a marathon for compassion in Africa. And good to see her back successfully running the marathon. And so that's brilliant. And also, just to say in terms of family news, Stuart Mould's situation continues to be critical. He's been subject to a series of fairly significant operations and is still very weak. So if we can just remember to support Gene and Stuart at this time in our prayers and very much backing them. This morning I want to turn and look at this passage in Luke chapter 4. Just briefly draw out a few things we call vision on Sundays and really to relate some of the things that we've been hearing about, things that we're thinking about as a church, to the question of elements of vision and where we're going as a church. And there are various things in this very famous passage in Luke chapter 4 that we see. The first thing that you'll notice is the reference that Jesus makes to the Spirit on me. The word me is repeated actually three times, and there's a very definite, distinctive emphasis. The idea is that the Spirit is on me, or I am anointed. And so we have this idea of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of the anointing of the Holy Spirit on Christ? Well, then we see it is because he has sent me. So the Holy Spirit anoints in order to send. One of the things that churches have often got wrong in terms of their emphasis on the Holy Spirit is that they have thought that it is somehow a personal, individual experience that gives us warm fuzzies or sorts our lives or various other things like that. And in fact, sometimes the portrayal of the gospel is that come to Jesus and your life will be entirely sorted when you receive the Spirit. Okay? Just so you know, that doesn't happen. But the Holy Spirit nonetheless comes upon us. And he comes upon us in our brokenness, in our imperfections, in our weaknesses, and he sends us. He moves us out into the world. And you'll know if you've been in SBC for any length of time that we take Acts chapter 1 verse 8 as a kind of key statement that we are called to be empowered witnesses. And so when we talk about our engagement with the world, whether that's Joe or whether that's our local community, we're not talking about some kind of social action program in our own strength. We're talking about the work of God's Holy Spirit who permeates and should permeate every aspect of our lives. An anointing that comes upon us that drives us out to change the world. And this is what Jesus is affirming. The Spirit of God is upon me and he has anointed me. And so I am sent. What's he sent to do? Well, we're told as he reads these words from Isaiah chapter 61, he says, I have come to preach good news to the poor. I remember hearing a sermon many years ago when I was a young man, and it made a massive impact on me, where the speaker stood up. He was actually an Anglican bishop, and he stood up and he said, what is good news to the poor? What does that look like? And he made the point. He said, you know, Jesus loves you is not exactly good news to the poor. He says, your debts are getting cancelled. We're going to do something about social inequalities. We're going to address your situation and wind you where you find yourself. That sounds like good news to the poor. Jesus was very clear, and Luke doesn't hide from this, that Jesus had a very definite social agenda. And this was good news to the poor, to those on the margins, to those who were discounted, to those who were forgotten. For most of us this week, we won't have noticed, but there was a publication of a report on universal credit. And again, for most of us, we won't know what universal credit is. But this report, it's the new way that the government are applying benefits to the less well-off in our society. And this report savaged what is happening in our country. Something that's going on, largely as churches, we don't talk about because we think the Spirit's about warm fuzzies and all this spiritual stuff. And it's not about actually engaging with our world. But this report was saying that actually the inequalities that are being created through universal credit are creating unprecedented hardship to those on the margins. More than that, when we begin to actually look at what's been happening in Britain over the last few years, it's horrifying. And this is both under, left and right, so this isn't party political here. You know, Britain sits as the sixth richest country in the world. But in Europe, 9 of the 10 poorest districts in the whole of Western Europe are found in Britain. That means that social inequality in Britain is higher than anywhere else in the Western Europe. And that's something that should concern us as a church. Why? Because it was something that was concerning Jesus. When he stood up here, he was talking about addressing the poor, those on the margins. And he was saying that the Spirit of God has something to say in relation to these things. One of the things a couple of weeks ago that we were looking at and we agreed as a church meeting was that we're going to explore a partnership with CAP, Christians Against Poverty. These guys work in terms of addressing debt. Debt is a massive epidemic that is infecting people throughout our country, throughout Scotland. And it's a terrifying thing that is going on. I encountered it a little bit. Debt isn't something that's a big element of my life, but I encountered a little bit of it just this week. I'd taken a 0% credit card because I couldn't believe that a bank would be willing to give me 30 months 0% interest. And it was going to cost me £40 for a large sum of money. And I couldn't believe that over 2.5 years. And I thought, that's great. And then I discovered how it works. There was a payment that was a day late. Won't go into why. And suddenly this disappeared, evaporated. And the £40 that this credit card was now costing me suddenly was costing me overnight £2,500 over the term. That's how it changed. And it took me 5 days of persistent resolve as a good educated middle-class person fighting the system to get it sorted. But you know what happens in our society? There is an awful lot of people where this doesn't happen. And debt compounds upon debt, compounds upon debt. And people are desperate. They run away from it. They hide from it. And this group, Christians Against Poverty, have had a vision to actually see that as Christians, this is something we should be concerned about. Just as Jesus is here talking, he's talking about debt here. When he's talking about release for the captives and the year of the Jubilee, the year of the Jubilee was a year, it came up every 50 years in the Old Testament, where all debt was canceled. And so here Jesus is talking about addressing debt and the concept of freedom in relation to debt. Christians Against Poverty address this, and they get alongside people and they say, you know something? If you opt into this program, we will help you manage this debt. We will talk to the agencies. We'll try and work out. We'll support you in relation to this. And for many people, it becomes an experience of freedom. They're set free. And you know, as Christians, this is something that we should be concerned about. One of the brilliant things about CAP, well, two things that are great about CAP. Well, the first thing was that almost a third of the people engaged with CAP become committed Christians. That's phenomenal. This idea that actually social engagement doesn't lead people to Christ is nonsense. And CAP are demonstrating this. In fact, I go so far as to say CAP is probably one of the most, if not the most, evangelistic, efficient things that are happening in Britain today. But the second thing that happened is that the director of CAP has just been recognized by the Queen and has been in the Queen's Honours List. And guys like Martin Lewis, and you'll know he's a money guru, He goes on national television and he recommends CAP to people who are in debt because he says there is no better agency in this country to walk you through debt and step you through that. You see, this is Christianity, having credibility and making a difference and impacting. And as a church, that continues to be part of our vision. It's always been there. We are not a church that just wants to have the Holy Spirit and have great times of worship and maybe see the Spirit of God touch our lives at a personal level. We pray for that. But it is much, much more than that. The Spirit of God anoints us in order to send us to address our world and its social issues. It calls us to address issues like universal credit and what we're seeing happening in our society in relation to this. It calls us to get alongside people in terms of debt. Jesus, as he reads the words of Isaiah, he says we are called to bring freedom to those who are in prison. Sight to those who are blind. There's two things that this text finishes with. And the first one is that it talks about how the people were amazed. And our English translations are very weak in terms of what the Greek is doing there. Because it isn't saying that people were amazed. It's actually saying the people witnessed and were in awe. That's the idea. Witnessed and were in awe. In other words, they saw what was happening tangibly through what Jesus was doing. They saw the impact that he was having in terms of the nature of the social structures around him. And they witnessed its reality. Many years ago, we sat down and we created a vision statement for SBC. And you know, one of the questions was, well, how do we evaluate if we're doing a good job or not? You know, how do we know we're succeeding or not? And we came up with a line in the statement, and I've always thought about this line, which was basically that those outside of the church will affirm the difference that we're making. You know, that's when we'll tick success. Not when we think we're doing a good job, not when we know we're doing a good job, but actually when those outside of the church turn around and affirm and say, SBC is making a significant difference to what's happening in Stirling, what's happening beyond Stirling. The last thing I want to notice in terms of this passage is that Jesus, when he had finished reading this, he folded up the text. And this is in the context of a Jewish synagogue. It's being set in the Jewish context in which Jesus operated. And he folded up this text and he sat down. And in Judaism, if you're going to say anything important, you didn't stand up, you sat down. So if someone sat down, in fact, we still have it in our universities where we talk of the chair, the university chair that a professor holds. It's the idea of authority. And so he sat down to speak with authority. And then this is the first word that Jesus speaks, and that isn't scripture, in Luke's gospel. And he speaks the word today. Today, this is fulfilled. You see, people, when they heard this, they would have thought, yeah, we believe that God, Jesus, or the Messiah is going to come and there's going to be resolution and God will work in history and yeah, and everything will get right. And you know, it'll be some future thing and we see this as a far distant vision. But Jesus sat down and he said, today. What he was saying was, I'm not talking about the future. I'm talking about now and the present. And as a church, the now and the present for us has to be knowing more of the Spirit of God and his anointing, but it also has to be knowing more of that engagement with our community, where our community turns around and says, we are witnessing the reality of God's Spirit, sending these people out to address the issues that matter to those on the margins. That's what we're called to be. I rejoice at what we've been seeing in Cho. I've been out to Cho, and it's been great. And I know that that's what's happening in Cho. Those who are on the margins, those who choose trafficking as a way of economic viability. We as a church are present there, doing something that addresses that. I pray that here in Stirling, as we explore our relationship in terms of debt as we explore what it means to engage with our society and the issues that our society are facing, I pray that we will be recognized as the people that God's Spirit is working through to change our environment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these words. We thank you for this challenge. Lord, I pray that as a people, we would not limit our vision to ourselves, to our own experiences of you, but that we would understand the call of that experience and encounter with your Spirit to social transformation. Lord, I pray that you would not allow us to be negligent of those on the margins, of those who are the oppressed, of those who are held captive to debt. Lord, I pray that you would help us not neglect the poor, but that you would help us to be a voice, to be a people who were deeply concerned with engaging and addressing the inequalities that so exist in our society and in our world. Lord, I ask this in your name. Amen.